So I think what I'm going to do is start by raising a question just to see if anybody went in this direction, something that I mentioned in the orientation, and that was that you might want to look at the discussion of what Rinpoche calls a source from understanding. And I gave you the page references. I'm just wondering, did anybody look at that and have any questions about that, or even if you didn't look at it, did you have any questions about the whole source from approach?
I read it. Great, I think.
Yeah, interesting. Anybody else?
I read it.
Okay, good. Well, I encourage you to read around. When I published or wrote that the book When It Rains, Does Space Get Wet? Part of the reason for doing that was to make connections, so that people could follow a theme out. And at the same time, part of what we did with in connection with that, we did that CD of all the different TSK books. And again, the idea was so that you could do searches and follow themes out, and source from is not, I don't think that way of talking about it comes up much in the other books, but there are other places certainly in the in Dynamics. And, you can look it up in the Index to Dynamics too. That works. That's the old-fashioned way, but it absolutely works.
Certainly touches on something that's really familiar, the idea that you don't have to make some exotic transformation in order to be present with a deeper dimension of your experience, and that not looking for something outside your realm of experience is a seems like a really useful insight there.
That's good. That's interesting. I hadn't exactly thought about it in that context, but I think you're absolutely right. That's one element here. In a certain sense, you could say what Rinpoche's the question that he's raising here and that he raises really again and again and again. In different places in the TSK books is why isn't our experience more rich and more alive, and why do we have this sense that we ought to we ought to be able to do things we that if only we could find some other source, some other level or dimension of experience, if we could go somewhere else, then we could do away with this sense of frustration and incompleteness and dissatisfaction. And Rinpoche really again and again points us to the fact that it's right in within our experience. So the question is, how do we find that within? And that really is a theme that I want to explore some today, because I think this is a great place to look at it. Anybody else want to say anything about source from or that whole? Yeah.
Yeah, Jack, this is Linda. And it seems like when we say source from or within, that there's some kind of a, if there's an implication of an in or an out, or, it automatically brings this concept of going someplace. Even a within, within even to me does that. And my sense is that the source from, there's no from, there's just a source, which is our experience. It's just clouded. It's just clouded over or something. So by we,
Well, that's interesting. I'm not sure if the place that I would draw the line is between source and source from, but I do agree with you that anything that suggests that we need to go somewhere, any kind of from to, that's a kind of language that Rinpoche uses a lot in this book and in other books. Anything that in a way you could say points us outside of our experience, and says experience comes from or goes to or that there's a source from, and I'm sure there are other ways, that is a, not only is it a wrong move, but it goes against the whole understanding, you could say, of time and space, and it points towards something really fundamental about the difference in the understanding of time and space that the TSK vision offers, because that's exactly the thing about time and space from a TSK perspective, is that they don't, there's nothing outside immediacy, if you want to put it that way. That's not so much a TSK term, but our ordinary understanding of time is this linear progression, and there's a past, which is somewhere else, and there's a future, which hasn't even come into being yet, and everything is sort of spread out along this line. And in the same way with space, you say everything is either here or there, and there's an infinite number of theirs, I guess, or there extends out forever, and here is not the same as there. And so there's all these distinctions that get made, and the TSK vision really is saying, no, it's not like that. There is a kind of an accessibility, an availability that comes with appreciation and knowing that does not make those kinds of distinctions. So one of the ways of talking about that is to say that we want to look for an understanding that is not a source from understanding. Yes.
This is Hayward.
Yes.
Instead of source from, how about as? So we would say awareness as experience.
That might work. These things, you want to kind of try them out and play with them and see what works for you. But I agree, it has a nice quality of not taking you anywhere else, which is really what we're focusing on now. So that might be very useful and fruitful. I haven't tried to work with it in that way. It kind of relates to the notion of something else that Rinpoche talks about here in this chapter, last week's readings, and I guess this week's reading, that we find ourselves on the surface of experience. I don't know. I'm not going to try to put those two things together. When it's good. I think it's very helpful to be playful with language and to explore other possibilities. And that's one of the things that we really always see that Rinpoche is doing. It's like I remember when Rinpoche was giving me notes, because as I've said before, he always dictates these books. It's always an oral transcription. And when he first started talking about from and to, I don't remember exactly in which book that was, but it was just so striking to me. I thought, here are these little words, these little words from and to that we never think about at all, and he is making something very important turn on that distinction. And I think in general with TSK, that's a great way to approach things. So Tina raises the question in the chat, if you say source from, isn't that an absolute, and therefore a limit which could be questioned? Yeah, I think that's right. And in fact, it helps point out, if you say, well, there's a source from, then it not only is it a limit, but it's putting something off limits, you could say. It's like here we are in our experience, and we can experience our experience, but that experience has a source, and we can't experience that source, because if we go out and try to experience the source, well, now that's our experience. And so that must have a source from, and so we can never really get there. So this is a great example of how, looking carefully, thinking through what it is that Rinpoche is pointing to, and how we, not only how we use language, the point is, that our language then is pointing us toward a particular understanding. And this source from understanding, that's one way of knowing that Rinpoche is talking about, that is not fruitful. So I want to contrast that with something that Rinpoche says in the reading. It's on page 247, the second full paragraph, when he really is offering, you could say, an alternative. You know, he's introduced, let's kind of look at the structure here. So on the second paragraph of 246, that's where he introduces this idea of a source from understanding. And then in the next paragraph, he talks about how that leads to a particular mode of being, hunger, desire, fantasy, those things, where you know, it because it puts fulfillment somewhere else. That's what people have been talking about and the point people have been making. And then he says, at the very bottom of page 246, he says, well, there's an alternative which has to do with intuition and imagination, and that's related to creativity. And that's great, he says, but then there's a little bit of a limit, and I'm not going to try to explore that, at least right at this moment. But then he says, in the first paragraph on page 247, he says, well, we could do it differently. We could engage knowledge more directly. And then he starts to give examples, and that's the paragraph that I was getting to. He says, there are questions we can ask and observations we can make that encourage the mind to embody knowledge as the inwardness of an unfolding inquiry. And that's, you could say, that's the alternative that Rinpoche is presenting. You're not looking for a source from, and you're also not on the surface of experience. You're arriving at an inward, or there's an inwardness. And I think that Linda's point is important here. Even if you say within, that still suggests a kind of a journey, a from to. You know, here we are on the surface, and we have to go within. And it's really hard to avoid that kind of language, because our language, or that kind of assumption, because our language is very spatial. So it has to do with moving here and there, and from and to, and in and out, and up and down, and so on. But this way of putting it is, I think, trying hard to not to suggest that, because it's saying the experience has an inwardness. And again, it's, you know, when you say has, and that has to do with possession, I mean, you know, there's the experience and it has some extra quality. That's not quite right either. But you could say within the inwardness, or there is an inwardness. I was just looking at Tina's comment, which is that you negate the inwardness with the unfolding. Well, that's interesting. You want to say something more about that, Tina? I'm not sure I understand.
Well, he's saying that it's inward and open outward. It's both things.
Mm-hmm.
Not one thing.
Okay. Oh, I see what you're saying. You're actually looking at the language. You're saying the inwardness of an unfolding inquiry. That's interesting, yeah.
The unfolding of an inwardness, so it's inward and outward, and it's, you know, you can't pinpoint it.
Mm-hmm.
I love his languaging. I love it, because he does that all the time.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's true. And I remember there's some place in these books, I don't remember where he puts that together in a very explicit way. He says sort of the inward outward of a something, you know, kind of like that. So that's good. That's great to point that out. Thank you. Okay, so then he raises some questions, and I just want to point to the fact that you want to look at what the questions he asks in this context. He says, how did our present situation develop? What is the past that gave rise to it? Let's just stop with those two for a minute. If you say, how did our present situation develop? The reason I want to look at that for a moment is it looks like, if you take it in an ordinary sense, it looks like that's inviting inviting us to name a source, right? Here we are in our present situation, and it developed from somewhere else, right?
Where does it come from? Yeah.
Yeah. And the same thing, you know, what more specifically, I guess you could say, what is the past that gave rise to it? Those kinds of questions could be asked in a source from way. So I think we need to look at this and say, well, that's probably not what Rinpoche means, because he's probably not contradicting himself. I think what it means is that there's an inward to the experience which brings in the past. So these two examples both have to do with the past, right? How did our situation develop? What is the past that gave rise to it? You say, well, the past is inwardly available. It's in the experience. So you don't go looking outside. That's really the point that I'm making. And he actually, I think that becomes more clear as you go on with the rest of the paragraph. He says, what are the specific structures and attitudes that bar us from greater knowledge? I don't know. That's very general. So I'm not sure if that helps us too much. But he is asking us to look in the inward unfolding. I'm going to use that way of saying it that Tina pointed out and that's in the text. In the inwardness of the unfolding inquiry, the structures and attitudes that bar us from greater knowledge are available, right? They're not someplace else. They're within. And again, I'm using that term despite the limits that it suggests. And then he gives us, I think you could say the next sentence is an example of that. What happens when we do not own what is known? Owning something seems like an example of a structure or attitude that bars us from knowledge. So when we look within the experience, if we look in an inward way, that is, you know, if we let the experience unfold inwardly without going anywhere else, without changing the experience, but there's this unfolding inward dimension, then it may be that one of the things we find is a certain kind of obstacle, and the one he's pointing toward here is an ownership claim that's being made. So, and then the last sentence in that paragraph, when we do not abandon direct experience for wishes, fears, and expectations. So that really, I think, helps clarify the point. We're not leaving experience. You know, when we look at the past, when we look at obstacles, we're still staying within the experience. And I think that an important point here, or an important way of thinking about this, is that TSK is never that interested in explanations. Because explanations are an invitation to depart from experience. You know? Another way to say that, I just started thinking about the word explanation this morning, and I looked it up to confirm, but it seems pretty clear on the surface of it. To explain something is to lay it out. You know, plain is the word plain, and like a flat plane, and X is the word out. So to explain something is to lay it out. It's like carving it up. You know, it's like there's a great image that I like to use. It's not exactly the same image here. It's from William James, where he says, the problem with psychologists is they want to study the stream of consciousness. That's a phrase that he made popular. They want to study the stream of consciousness, but the way they do it is they go to the stream and they take their buckets and they fill them with water, and then they take them back to their laboratories and analyze the water in the bucket, when what they should be doing is just, you know, lying down in the stream, roughly. And it's kind of like that. Explanations are things that take us away from experience by kind of carving it up, laying it out, dissecting it, you could say. And they do not allow us to remain within direct experience. And they, you know, you can ask a source from question, or you do ask a source from question whenever you ask for an explanation. So it's an interesting dilemma, in a sense, again with TSK, because it's very difficult. It's very difficult to write a book, it seems to me, in which you're leading. You know, what's a good way to say it? No, you're introducing a vision. That's the TSK way of saying it, I guess. Without offering explanations, and the place that the explanations tend to come up is if you, is where you say, "Well, how did we get to be in the state that we're in now? You know, how did we find ourselves sort of locked down with this limited understanding of space and time?" It seems like you kind of need to do that so that you can then explain what to do about it. But that's not the approach that you want to take from a TSK perspective, because you really want to stay within direct experience. And so the trick, you could say, is to be very suggestive. You know, when you use language in a certain way, you don't want to say this is the way that it is, but it's saying, well, what if you let the language guide you in a certain direction? And in the same way, when you say, well, and there are a lot of things like this in dynamics, for instance, if you say, well, consciousness arises in this sequence, first there's this, and then there's that, and then there's this, and it looks like an explanation. Again, I know Rinpoche has always emphasized, and he emphasized in the writing of these books, he said, you know, don't state anything as though it were a fact. Don't offer explanations. Suggest things. So Tina in the chat says basically the same thing. We can explain it if we do so open-endedly. Yeah, you can offer a kind of a way of looking at it. But then the next step is always going to be going back into the immediacy of the experience. So how do you do that? this all comes up, I think, very naturally in this reading that we're doing, because that is what Rinpoche is exploring. You know, how can you go to this inward unfolding of experience so that you don't leave the direct experience in favor of something else? How do you penetrate, but again that's a kind of a spatial word, but how do you penetrate beneath the surface level of experience? And of course, just to put it in a broader context, the surface of experience is what we encounter when we're relying on the thinking mind, you know, and the thinking mind is the one that labels and explains and presupposes and, you know, manipulates experience, does something with it to turn it into something other than what it is. So how do you do that? Okay, I'm going to go back to the chat. Linda is saying something. She said this is something she's wondered about, the word inquiry. Let's see. Because inquiry, she says, it seems like in inquiry there's always this sense of the I is doing the inquiry, the I who's wondering. She's saying, yeah, so this helps clarify that it's not the I doing the inquiry. It's a kind of a, so Linda, you're saying an observational position of experience or awareness. And that's good. That's going in the right direction. Of course, positions are always a little problematic
Well, yeah, position, or maybe it's quality is a better word. Maybe
Yeah, quality,
situational quality.
I think quality is a good word, and I'm going to seize on it because it's where I want it to go next anyway. Remember, what the exercise is. Next week we're going to go specifically on the exercise, this exercise one, conducting the vision. But we did it last week, and I want to do it again in a minute or two, at least the very beginning of the exercise. And it says, look within each arising moment for the quality of awareness it carries. And yeah, and I think that's important. And I think I said this in the orientation that we're not saying that I have a certain kind of awareness or understanding. It's that the experience, each arising moment, he says, has a quality of awareness. It's not something that anybody owns. And so the inquiry, and it's an inward inquiry, and you're looking at the unfolding of the moment of experience, and it has to do with the quality of awareness. So what that means, you know, how you would define quality of awareness is, I don't think we need to worry about so much, because we're not trying to label something. You know, what we're doing is we're trying to go to a place that we can investigate that is not the content of the experience. Because when you go to the content, then you're at the level of labels. You know, then you're on the surface. So, you know, one way to think about that, this is kind of a footnote, but when we rely on seeing, when we're talking about seeing in particular, you can always only ever see the surface of something. You know, if you have an orange, you see the surface, you see the peel of the orange. And then if you say, well, I want to know what's inside the orange, and you slice it open, then you see the meat, or I'm not sure what you call that, the fruit itself. But you're still seeing the surface, right? And even if you look at an X-ray, you know, you say you're seeing what's inside the body, but what you're looking at is the surface of something. And that kind of superficial, in a very literal way, that superficial way of seeing things, that's what leads us away from the inwardness of experience, and it's what thought does, and it's what explanations do. So we don't want that. You could say, you know, nothing wrong in and of itself, but if that's all we have, then we can never get to the juice of experience. I'm teaching a meditation class right now. We just read a chapter in another book by Rinpoche called Getting the Juice of Experience, and that's more or less what we're talking about here. So when we look at the quality of awareness, that's a way of of looking at the aspects that are not the label, you know. So in a sense, you could say the quality of the experience is everything else. And I think I said this in the orientation. The word awareness tends to make us think of somebody who's aware, of the one who's aware, and then you've got this subject-object dichotomy, which is not very helpful. But the way Rinpoche uses it here, and the way we've been trying to explore, is that the awareness is inherent in the situation, and in a sense it's a kind of a cover term, it's a very broad term, for everything that's not the content. Everything that you can't name. Now, I'm not sure that's completely true in the end. the I mean, there may be things that aren't awareness and that aren't content, you know. But right now, I just want to suggest that when you're looking at the quality of awareness, or you might just even say, what's the quality of the experience? That's everything that's not the content. So that's a way to look at it. Again, if you look, you know, last week we looked at the first sentence of this exercise. So this week let's look at the second sentence. He says, be sensitive to the way that awareness transfers from one experience to the next. Now, I'm not sure if we should take that exactly literally. Usually I try to take things literally in TSK, but you know, I don't know if it's there's this thing called awareness, and it operates in one moment, and then it operates, and you know, then it gets moved over into the next moment. I don't know if that's exactly it. I think a better way to say it is that there is a kind of a shifting quality of awareness, and in one moment it's different from the next. That's really it. And one thing about the word quality, you know, we use the word quality in two different ways. One is kind of, I guess you could say, quantitative, although that's kind of oxymoron. You know, we can talk about something being of low quality or high quality or medium quality, so then we're ranking it. I don't think that's what's going on here, or it's certainly not the main point. The other way that we use the word quality has to do with something very indefinable. You know, you say the quality of an experience, the quality of a painting, let's say, the quality, it's kind of like the atmosphere. You know, you might say the quality of an interaction. It's a kind of an indefinable thing, right? And that's good. That's where we want to go. So the quality of the awareness, or the quality of what's going on in the experience, that's where we want to look. And the point here, the way to tie that to what we've been talking about so far today, is that two things, I guess. One is looking into the quality of the awareness in any moment is a way of a kind of inwardness, right? Of engaging this inward. And the other point to make there is that certain kinds of experience have a quality, and other kinds of experience don't. That's not quite right, what I just said, because it seems to me that every experience has a quality. You know, there's a quality of awareness at work in every experience. But if you get lost in the content, then you don't find a way into the quality of the awareness. So, for instance, well, I think maybe I'm just going to stop there, because if we talked about that, it would take the rest of our time, and I'd like to take at least a few minutes to try exploring that, to see what kind of questions come up for people. So again, we're going to look at the quality of awareness in light of the discussion we've been having, and maybe with this added suggestion in the second sentence of being aware of the way that awareness transfers from one experience to the next. So why don't we do that for just about, we don't have much time, why don't we do it for about 4 minutes, and then we'll take a few minutes for answers, or rather comments, and that'll be it. So I'll turn off the video and we'll do that. Okay, let's take a few minutes to see. Does anybody want to say anything about what they noticed in just those few minutes? It's not very much time, but.
I could say something.
Yes.
I like the way the two the first two sentences, they employ the word sensation, awareness, and arising in time. And the second sentence invites us to use sensation to explore awareness. And the first sentence invites us to look within sensation to find awareness. So those three elements all sort of like and sort of combine together to be life of the senses, the awareness, and a life in time.
Okay, well, that's good. It reminds me, that next quarter our theme is the senses, and I think that what we do in that exploration of the senses will build on what we're looking at right now. Because I mean, it's so interesting that Rinpoche says here, he basically says thoughts and sensations are pretty much on the same level, and that's just interesting to know because we don't always see it that way. We tend to think that thoughts are very different from sensations, and sure, in some ways they are, but not all. Okay, well, there's several people who made comments here in the chat window, so let me take a look at that. So Robert says that focus on the quality allows for a certain opening between perception and reaction, or a sense of freedom, a release of tension. Yeah, it's interesting. Rinpoche talks about how our usual tendency, and I'm quoting from that paragraph we looked at, is to abandon direct experience for our wishes, our fears, and expectations. And if this is a way of not abandoning direct experience, then surely it gives us more freedom or more openness and appreciation. Linda's saying there's a kind of resting in awareness so that the quality of experience becomes joy. So, thank you. That's nice appreciation. But I appreciate the appreciation. And David says something similar, that experience has a fresh, calm, open feeling. Thoughts enter, pass, and evolve. But there's a lot to experience, a lot to notice, and a felt quality of newness. Take a look at the chat, those of you who are online, because David has characteristically put it all very nicely and says more than I'm saying right now. And Bruce says, okay, the awareness quality of content. Well, that's right. You can stay with the content and still be attuned inwardly to the awareness. And I was trying to say before, the two are not in conflict. But the tendency is to do one or the other. So he says, Bruce says, feeling thoughts of surface, staying with the judgment of surface, and savoring and deepening it. Awareness quality in or as, there's the as, surface. And I think that's right. I think there's, you don't have to stop thinking. That's one way to talk about this. That's kind of a simple way to talk about it. I think what Bruce said here and what other people have said is more subtle, but that's the basic idea. Just to bring out the other side of that for a moment, because this was kind of coming up for me in doing the practice just now. Rinpoche does invite us to ask the question, what are the structures and attitudes that bar us from greater knowledge? So here he says greater knowledge, but I think the focus is really this quality of awareness. So what are the structures and attitudes. And I think, again, that commitment to a certain surface level of thinking, and in particular what he mentions here, a kind of involvement in our own wishes and fears and expectations, those seem to be the kinds of structures that make this kind of practice difficult. When it doesn't have to be, it doesn't have to be difficult at all. So continue with this exercise. Next week we're going to actually read the exercise in its complete, in its wholeness, and the commentary to it. But we will have our own experience to work with. And as I mentioned before, I don't know, a week or two ago, you can do the exercise. You can kind of set aside time to do it, or you can try to do it in the middle of what you're experiencing. Either way. I'll warn you that next week, Mangalam Research Center is hosting a conference next week, and so we'll do our regular phone call, but I'll be missing a conference session, so I'll want to cut it off pretty much at 9:30. So it'll be a little bit shorter next week. Okay, that's it. Thank you very much, everybody. Very nice.